Well, good evening, everybody. You can take your Bibles tonight and go to Luke chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 1. Last week, we met in our second teaching about the acceptable year of the Lord. We learned about what God's Word had to say about the keeping of time, how time is recorded in the Bible. We talked about different things like how they measured time in the Bible, what the length of their days were, how long their years were. And tonight we're going to put some of that into practice, and we're going to establish the timeline of the ministry of Jesus Christ. The first date that we need to determine in our study is the year of Jesus Christ's baptism by John the Baptist, because this is his opening of his ministry, okay? In Luke 3, verse 1, it says, "Now in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch of Galilee, and his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturae, and of the region of Trachonitis, and Lysanias, the tetrarch of Abilene, Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests, the word of God came unto John, the son of Zacharias, in the wilderness. And he came into all the country about Jordan, preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." Okay? The first verse says that this happened in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. In the 15th year of the reign. So, this is a civil matter. Remember last time we talked about how there's a civil calendar for things like the reign of kings. And then there's a spiritual calendar for things like when the feasts happen and stuff like that. So this is a civil matter, which means the year is reckoned around September-ish, okay, with Tishri. And historical record tells us that Tiberius Caesar, like he was a real person, because this is like, you know, the truth. Tiberius Caesar, if you look it up in history, co-reigned with Augustus Caesar for 2 years, starting in the year 12 AD. Then Augustus died in 14 AD, the guy he was co-reigning with. And thus, the 15th year of reign would be start on Tishri 1 of 26 AD. Okay, so 26 AD was the beginning of the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar. So he starts in 12, having, and then you add 15 years to that, you get 27, but it's his 15th year, so you take one off of it, right? He didn't reign for 15th year, it's the beginning of his 15th year. So that's 26 AD. Okay, so sometime during that year, John the Baptist began to preach the baptism of repentance. If we jump down to verse 21, it says, "Now, when all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus, also being baptized and praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape like a dove upon him. And a voice from heaven, which said, Thou art my beloved Son, in thee I am well pleased. And Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being as was supposed the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli." Okay, so verse 23, it says began to be. So he had not yet entered the 30th year of his life. He had began to be about 30 years. So we know that Jesus was born on Tishri 1 in the year 3 BC. He was born 3 years before himself. That's right. So he was born on Tishri 1 in the year 3 BC. And verse 23 says, began to be about 30 years. And in biblical reckoning, a baby's first year starts when they're born, right? They begin their first year the moment they come out. They begin their first year. They don't say this baby is 1 year old. They say the baby began his first year. He's not 1 year old till a whole year passes, but he begins his first year the moment he is born. Okay? So between years 1 and 2, they don't say he's 1 year old. They say he's in his second year. And he's in his second year until he gets to be 2 full years old. And then he would be in his third year. And on and on and on. So Jesus would be 30 years old in 27 AD if he was born in 3 BC, which means his 30th year began in 26 AD. So we know that sometime between 26 and 27 AD that Jesus Christ was water baptized, because that verse says he began to be about 30 years old. All right, he wasn't yet 30 years old. He was in his 30th year, but it was not yet complete. All right, go to John chapter 2, verse 20. John chapter 2, Gospel of John 2, verse 20. Okay, the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verse 20 says, "Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? Okay, this verse is verse 19 says, "Jesus answered and said unto them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. They answered him, saying, 46 years was this temple in building, and thou wilt rear it up in 3 days? 46 years was the temple under reconstruction. Okay? 46 years. We have another time marker here. 46 years was the temple under reconstruction. So we're going to look to see this record. How does it relate to the timing of Jesus' baptism? Go to chapter 1, verse 19. Chapter 1, verse 19. This is like one of those movies where they show you where you are at the end, and then they flash back and show you how you got there. That's what we're doing. John 1, 19. "And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who art thou? Who are you?' And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Art thou Elias?' And he saith, 'I am not.' They said, 'Art thou that prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then said they unto him, 'Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you, whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethrabah beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day," okay, so that's our time marker. "The next day after these guys came to question him, John sees Jesus coming unto him and said, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. So the word here says, I saw. So this happened after the water baptism. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizes with the Holy Ghost. And I saw, again, past tense, and bear record that this is the Son of God. Okay, so the guys come and question him. Somewhere after that, where the next day, Jesus comes to him, baptizes, and then John keeps talking about it afterwards. And then verse 35 says, and again, or again, the next day. So now we're 2 days after they come and talk to John the Baptist and question him. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, blah, 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 blah. Verse 43, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and said unto him, follow me. Blah, 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 blah. Chapter 2, verse 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Blah, 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 blah. Verse 12. After this, the third day, he went down to Capernaum, he and his mother, and his brethren, and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. Doesn't specify how many, just that it wasn't a lot. And then verse 13 says, and the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to where? Jerusalem. Okay, so the Passover is at hand, and Jesus goes up to Jerusalem. Verse 14, and found in the temple those that had sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence. Make not my Father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us? Seeing that the... Why are you doing all of these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. Then the Jews said, 40 and 6 years was this temple in building. Will thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. Okay? Whew! So, we can see that this took place not many days before he got baptized by John the Baptist. It wasn't very long after that that this came to pass. And what was going on at that time was Passover. Okay? So historical record says that Herod began rebuilding the temple 19 years before his death in the year 1 BC. Thus, he started in 20 BC. So if you go, you know, look up historical record, that's when he began rebuilding the temple. Because rebuilding the temple was a sacred, as opposed to a civil matter, it would be reckoned Nisan to Nisan, which basically means that it was happening sometime in the springish months, March to April-ish. Thus, the temple would be 46 years old in the spring of 27 AD, which means that this conversation happening at Passover is on April 9th and 10th of the year 27 AD. Okay, so we know that sometime after Tishri 1 in 26 AD, John the Baptist starts his ministry, and Jesus Christ gets baptized. And then 27 AD, of April 9th or 10th of that point, is this conversation at Passover. So if you put it all together, we triangulate all of that, John's ministry, Jesus' water baptism, and this Passover happen in sequence between October of the year 26 and April of the year 27, when Jesus was 29 years old in his 30th year. Got it?
Wow.
So if you look at this chart, calendar chart 20, or calendar chart 6, it goes over some of these dates. The first thing up there on the right says that in 1 Tishri, in 26 AD, it begins the 15th year of Tiberius, the 29th year of Jesus Christ. And then some months later, it ends the 46th year of the temple being in construction. And then the first of Nisan occurs, which is the beginning of the Judean standard calendar year, or the sacred one. And then Passover occurs on the 14th of Nisan, which is April 9th to April 10th, sunset to sunset. And then if you keep going to the end of that year, you get into the first of Tishri in 27 AD, which would be the 30th year of Jesus Christ. So this is sort of the calendar year from when John the Baptist began his ministry or preaching up through the Passover, where Jesus Christ starts this throwing over all the money tables and all that other good stuff. All right? So now we kind of understand when the beginning of Jesus Christ's ministry was, because the beginning of his ministry starts with his baptism with John. So that was just before Passover at that point. Now we have to consider when Jesus Christ was crucified, because obviously his ministry ends when he is killed. Okay? Go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15. Verse 1. Mark 15, 1 says, "And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes, and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to whom?" Pilate. Delivered him to Pilate. All right, so if we open up our history books again, looking at Roman history, Pilate governed Judea from the year 26 AD to 36 AD. So he had a 10-year gubernatorial reign. So Jesus, if he was delivered unto the governor Pilate, had to have been crucified somewhere in that 10-year span. We also know from biblical research laid out in Jesus Christ Our Passover, if you want to read it sometime, that he was crucified on Wednesday the 14th of Nisan and raised again Saturday the 17th. Okay, so we know those dates based on biblical research. And the way that days of the week and numbers of the date work is that they don't always fall on the same day of the week, right? January 1st this year was on a Monday? Tuesday. It's on a Tuesday. It's not always on a Tuesday. It falls on different days as the years progress, and then it cycles back. Okay? That's always been true. So in order for Jesus Christ to die on a Wednesday, the 14th, and get up on Saturday the 17th, it couldn't be any one of those 10 years. It had to be one in which that cycle makes sense. So during that 10-year span, only 3 years had a 14th of Nisan that fell on a Wednesday. And those were the years 28 AD, 31 AD, and 34 AD. So those are our three possible years that Jesus Christ was crucified. because those are the only ones that make sense according to calendar. So that means that Jesus Christ's activities from the Passover we just looked at until those years means his ministry either covers 1 year, 4 years, or 7 years. Those are the only logical possibilities, none of which are the traditional 3 years. Go to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. It says, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah," which is, to be interpreted Isaiah. "And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me.'" So he's reading this from the book of Isaiah. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." So if you want to put your ribbon here, we're going to come right back, put a finger, put a ribbon. Go to Isaiah 61, verse 1. Let's go see what he was reading. Isaiah 61:1. Isaiah 61, verse 1. "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn." Okay, so this section is what he was reading. Verse 2 says he to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God to comfort all that mourn. Flip back to Luke 4:19. Jesus Christ reads to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, and verse 20 says he closed the book. He didn't read that last part. "And gave it again to the minister and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your" what? Ears. Jesus Christ stopped when he did for a reason. In order for him to say, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears," he couldn't keep going because the rest of the prophecy in Isaiah is still to come. That day of vengeance is still future. So it hasn't yet been fulfilled. But what had been, or what was in the process of being fulfilled, was Jesus Christ was there. Jesus Christ was preaching the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, of him, of the Lord. You'll also notice that it says year and not years, which would indicate multiples. Okay? Early historical writings that support a year-long ministry, or early historical writings support a year-long ministry of Jesus Christ. It's not until the 4th century, which is 300 years later, that writings begin to show up advocating the traditional 3-year ministry, which doesn't fit the 4 or 7 years either. So it's only much later in historical writings that the church begins to talk about a longer ministry. The last thing we're going to look at is the records in John about Judean feasts that also support a year's worth of time. Okay? Go to John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 13. We just read this verse a couple minutes ago. But it says, "And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." So that's the record we just read, right? He goes in, overthrows all the money-changing tables. That feast was the Jews' Passover, okay? And it was the beginning of their year. It was like the first feast of the year. Okay? And Passover was a requirement. All Jewish males had to go to Passover. It was required by law. And we know that Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, right? So he went. Go to chapter 5, verse 1. And these records in John are recorded in chronological order. John 5:1. After this, so after that Passover, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Okay, it doesn't specifically mention what feast it was. But in terms of the Jewish calendar, Pentecost was also required to go to, also called the Feast of Weeks. And we see here that Jesus Christ went there. It doesn't say he was required to go, it just says he went. It's an unnamed feast. Perhaps it was Pentecost. We don't know. But then you go to chapter 6, verse 4. And this is what kind of throws everybody off. This is where tradition gets involved. Chapter 6, verse 4 says, "And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. And when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy these that they may eat?" This verse does not say that Jesus Christ went, and just says that it was near. And the words "the Passover" were added. They were omitted in early Greek texts. So it just says, "And a feast of the Jews was nigh." So there was a feast of the Jews coming up. There were two feasts in between Pentecost and the Feast of the Tabernacles, which were not required by law to go to. And that was the Memorial Blowing of Trumpets. Sounds like a cool feast. And the Day of Atonement. Okay? So it's possible that this was either one of those two. But again, it's not named. It's just "a feast of the Jews was nigh." Go to chapter 7, verse 2. Chapter 7, verse 2. But we know it has to be one of those feasts because 7:2 says, "And now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And his brethren therefore said unto him, Depart thence and go into Judea, that thy disciples may also see the works that thou doest." The Feast of Tabernacles is specifically mentioned here. It comes after those other two, the Memorial Blowing of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. It's a requirement that every Jewish man go to it. And Jesus Christ went to it. Chapter 10, verse 22. So we don't specifically know which of those other two feasts, the unnamed feast, and that one that was called the Passover mistakenly, but there's only three feasts in between Passover and the Feast of Tabernacles. So two of those three feasts Had to have been two of those three. Chapter 10, verse 22. And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter, and Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. So this was the feast of dedication, which was in the winter time, and Jesus Christ was there. And that is the last feast of the year. Chapter 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. And so this is right before Jesus Christ goes back to Jerusalem and is then crucified. Right at the Passover for the next year. So, with John being in order and all the Jewish feasts mentioned, it makes sense that the period of Jesus Christ's ministry would be a year long. It fits with the dates, it fits with the word when it says it's the acceptable year of the Lord, and then all the records in John in chronological order list out the Judean feasts in an order which makes up a year. The other chart that I gave you lists out the Judean feasts as they would have occurred in the year 27 to 28 AD. So it shows you when the different feasts were, what their names are, and if attendance was required or not. So that would be the period of the year from when Jesus Christ went from the Passover where he flips the tables to then the Passover where he was ultimately crucified. And again, the years that could happen was 28, 31, and 34 AD. And so the 28 AD fits with that year period of time. Okay? So that would be the acceptable year of the Lord, the year of Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. So we've established the timeline. And next week, we will get into that acceptable year of the Lord and get to see what Jesus Christ did with that year that he had in his ministry.